Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we're continuing our sermon series on Sunday school stories. And in the book of Exodus, especially God's deliverance of the Hebrew people out of slavery, it is a pivotal moment in the life of Jewish people. Even in their worship today, they say things like, "Remember when God brought us out of the land of Egypt?" Us. See, there's this intimate connection to God's action in the past in their present experience. And usually when reading today's story, we focus on the manna, God's bread from heaven. But today I want to talk about the Hebrews' response to their present situation and how they react to the manna, because they don't just receive the manna. This is just the first time they get it. It says they did it for 40 years, and then they begin to complain about it. See, what we have in our story is essentially a group of people who can't see clearly their present situation for what it is. They're only looking at one aspect of it, the negative. So the Hebrews, they don't appreciate what they have, and so they want to go back to the way that it was. That's absolutely no parallel to today, does it? And here's the thing. When I said that, you probably made some kind of connection with that, right? Some of you thought of yourselves, and some of you thought of friends, maybe this congregation or your own political party or the party across the aisle. And those are just the ones I thought of. I bet there's more, but many of us, we view the past with great satisfaction, and we look at the present with deep dissatisfaction. But to cling to the past, hoping to recreate it in the future, is to miss God's gift in the present. In our reading today, God has delivered the Hebrews from the hands of the Egyptians. The trial of slavery is behind them. The Hebrews, they followed a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, through the Red Sea, which killed all of Pharaoh's armies, into the desert. They've experienced the miraculous hand of God in their lives. And then they start looking back. They remembered the joys of the past, forgetting that there was trials back then too. And so they cry out to God because they're unhappy with what they're getting. Verse 16:3 says, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, the meat storage, and ate our fill of bread." They cried out to God to be back in slavery because they remembered how good the food was. See, they viewed the past with great satisfaction, even though they were in slavery, but they looked at the present, even though they were free, with deep dissatisfaction. This idolatry of the past is as old as Scripture itself. See, the Hebrews in the desert, they weren't the first ones to actually do this. Abraham's cousin, Lot, he fled from the region of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God warned Lot's family not to look back. But what isn't simply just kind of turning back with your eyes? God was telling them not to let their hearts return. God was telling them, don't idealize the place that you're leaving in your memory, and then allow that place, that false creation in their mind, to return to it. So this last week, I was meeting with the Roos Circle ladies, and we were talking about entertainment. And I love a good movie franchise. Anybody here love a good movie franchise? Like entertainment as much as I do? All right. Okay, good. So my family is in the middle of watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe in chronological order. You can actually do that. And some sequels, like those in The Lord of the Rings, which isn't Marvel, and Marvel movies, they're successful because they're actually a continuation of the story. Each movie is its own story, but it builds on the past. The drama and plot, they keep moving forward in such a way that without the later movies, the first would be left unresolved. But sequels that, however, have this circular plot line where the same things happen in the sequel and with the hope that the audience will feel the same way they did watching the sequel as they did with the original. And those kinds of sequels where they just try to recreate the second one, it's always a flop. Never works. Because recreating the past, it never works out. And the same thing happens when we idolize our past. We love what happened so much that we want to live it again, but in the process, we create an inauthentic life. But God is doing something now. God is continuing the story with you. See, we often idolize the past out of a lack of faith in God. We doubt that God has a good plan for us in the future. And so we want to cling to the past. See, when we as a church try to recreate the past, it's never going to be as good because we tend to view the past with great satisfaction and the present with dissatisfaction. And just so I'm crystal clear, so y'all aren't hearing something that I'm not saying. I'm not saying that remembering the past is a bad thing. Remembering the past is good for us. The Hebrews, they should have remembered what God had done for them in the immediate past and let it inform their present. They should have clung on to the past and the hope that God had given them then to carry them to the hope that they have now. They need to remember that God worked in their past and trust that God is working in their present. We read Scripture to remember God's work in history. We need to recall that God has done something in our lives, in the life of this church, in the life of others. And we do that so that we can have more faith and trust moving forward. So when we remember the past, we have to remember for what it was. Or we had problems back then too. In our lives, with our families, they just weren't the same problems that we have today. We have to trust that God is working in our lives now, and it looks different. It's not worse. It's just not the same as what we remember. St. Paul reminds us in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. St. Paul knows that we have to here and now discover God's will for our lives. We can't depend on trying to recreate the past. Jesus tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. See, neither can we let worry about the future inform our decisions. Instead, we have to live in the moment. We have to live in the here and the now. We have to truly be present, trusting that God is working on us, trusting that God is working through us. Trust that God is working for us with our best interest in mind. So, friends, when you find yourself less than pleased with the present and idealizing the past, realize that it's keeping you from living in God's present. So turn away from that kind of thinking and look for God. God is right here in this moment. Not just back then, not just coming in the future. Jesus is with you, doing a new thing in your life. God is doing something new in the life of this congregation. God is doing something new in the world. So be open. Be mindful. Ask God to reveal it to you. See, Christ has come to set us free from holding on to the past. He's come to set us free from worrying about the future so that we can live in the present. Amen.